Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Abernathy. What a blessing. Amen. I'll just say this tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that's worked so hard, been out. But let's not quit now. Amen. If we started out going soul winning and you were doing that to help us reach that goal, there's a greater goal. Amen. And it's called the Great Commission, and we're going to head into Missions Month and continue that. And so don't quit now. If you got started, keep plowing. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you wouldn't, go to Matthew chapter number 11 tonight. Matthew 11. And I want to preach a message. This morning I spoke on mounting up. Today I want to talk about yoking up. Amen. Tonight. Yoking up. All right. Again, I'll just say this. Somebody brought me keys. I don't know if they're yours, but if you plan on driving home, you may need them. If you drove it in, if you may be walking home, it's a Toyota. Amen. So it's a rice burner. So anyway, if they're yours, they're here. If they're not yours, don't steal them. Amen. Don't take them so somebody can get home. Amen. Want to make sure I said that. I also forgot to mention earlier, I really didn't forget, but I just want to mention, I mentioned it this morning, and it's something that's coming up. We'll have a missionary each one of the Sunday nights coming in and preaching for us throughout the month of November on Sunday night, keeping it Missions Month, except for November 17th. We're going to take that night, and we will have a special speaker, but we're going to be honoring Dr. and Miss Pitts for 50 years of service here to our church, but also celebrating their 50 years of marriage. Amen. And we don't want to be a secret to them because we want them to show up. And so, amen. But prayerfully, we'll be able to have all their family, and we want you to show up because you're their family as well, that you've been family with them for 50 years now. And so let's show up for them. Also, all those that maybe went to school with you or been through our Christian school, those that would know them and love them, maybe that don't go to our church, but go to other churches of like faith and practice, encourage them to come out and let them know the date of November 17th. We want them to be here to share in a great victory and a great, great celebration of all that they've done for us. Yoking up, if you would. Matthew chapter 11, and a familiar passage of Scripture tonight, but I want to remind us because we need reminding. We are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Amen. Even today has been a roundup day. Why is it that you need a roundup? Because cows, sheep, everybody wanders off. You put them out in the pasture, you got to round them up at some point to get them back or corral them into a place where you can work with them and help them and guide them. And again, for all of us tonight, we don't have the same mindset. For us personally, as a church, we had a morning roundup. Tonight, I want to encourage you to get back in the yoke with Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, we make it a general sense, and we should love our church and desire the fellowship that we have one with another when we come into the house of God, and we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And the Bible says so much the more as we see the day approaching, and the day is approaching. And so, folks, we need to have that fellowship, and we need to be bound together. But more than that, what will encourage you on a daily basis is daily climbing in the yoke with Jesus Christ. Do you know, I don't know how many of you understand a yoke in itself, but a yoke is going to look much like a cross when you look at it from above. And this is talking more not just what horses get into, but a yoke of oxen. And it's just a simple piece of wood and a tree, and it's shaped for them, and it goes over their shoulders, and they put their head through that stock, if you would. And then it gives them the ability to shoulder the load and pull. But the blessing of it is they don't have to do that. A yoke is something that binds two together so that they can pull together and they can balance together. So they can be, when one is weary, the other can guide and direct the other. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus doesn't need us in the yoke to pull with him. He's all powerful. But he allows us to get in the yoke and share. He shares not, I don't share his burden. He shares my burden. He doesn't need my strength to help him pull, but I need his strength. And so tonight we need to see that again in the scripture and be reminded, because sometimes we decide we're going to go out and pull on our own. We forget to climb in the yoke on a daily basis, and because we think this is the job to do and I'll just take care of it for Jesus. No, Jesus needs to help us on a daily basis. I need him. I need to be in the yoke with him. And so we often talk about that in devotions, but also, folks, we need that in action and relationship with him. So let's pray tonight, and we'll dive in and read the scripture and try to do the best we can to deliver what God has laid upon my heart. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Again, God, I thank you for what an opportunity it is to even enter into the thought that you let us be co-laborers with you. God, I pray tonight that you just allow me to be your messenger boy to deliver the unsearchable riches that can be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, after salvation, you invite us to find rest for our souls, to climb into a yoke and to have a burden and a purpose that's bigger than this world and our simple day-to-day 9-to-5, but God, it's big as eternal things. It's as big as heaven. It's as big as someone's eternal life. God, help us tonight to get a hold of the fact that we cannot do this on our own, that the Christian life can only be lived well in the yoke with you. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 11, if you'll look at the verse here with me now, I want you to be able to come to verse 28 with me, and we'll begin reading there in verse 28. Come unto me. There's a call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, he gives us the call, and he invites us, and again, he's going to deliver to us and submit to us that we need to land in the yoke, but he calls us away from our labor and our laden burden, the burdens that we carry as we labor. He calls us away from that to come to him. Oftentimes, we focus on the labor and the burdens that have been pressed upon us in this life, and we forget to separate ourselves and to come to Jesus Christ. The labors of this life are many, and the burdens are heavy. But for many of us, we forget that there is a burden bearer, and that he did not just come to bear the burdens of sin. He did not just go to the cross to pay the great sin debt, but he desires to yoke up with us and to become one with us and have a relationship that is not just one of Savior or servant master, but oneness, one body, one pull in the yoke together, one relationship together. And again, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'm thankful for a good life where I had a good family unit, and then God allowed me to be married and have a good wife where we pull together. And I'm not pulling through this life on my own, and it helps me realize it, this one flesh that I have here for all of us as a church. We need to realize that Jesus in Ephesians chapter 5 is not speaking and picturing the married relationship. He's taking the married relationship and trying to show us that that's the oneness that we're supposed to have with Jesus Christ. He's not trying to teach us. He's trying to take the marriage relationship and one of the best pictures that we can have on this side of heaven of what the spiritual relationship and oneness that we can have with Jesus Christ. And by the way, the best friend in all the world, I hope that your spouse is your best friend next to Jesus Christ. Because all of us need to have a relationship, not just for salvation, but one of burden bearing, one of not even load sharing, but load carrying Savior in our life. He says, come unto me. Can I just, you are invited to get in the yoke. Most of us don't run to the yoke until we can't, till we're burdened down and loaded to the place where we can't take another step. How about just going when we're called? Do you know that Jesus sees the crisis long before it happens? He'll preach the message long before you need it. And if you just answer the call of the Lord Jesus Christ and decide today, long before you got burdens coming, you say, well, preacher, what's going to happen after the election? I have no fear, because I'm yoked up with Jesus Christ. All my worries and cares rolled away a long time ago when I yoked up with Jesus Christ. You said, are you apprehensive? Now listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I've decided to pull in faith instead of fear. It doesn't matter who gets in the White House. Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God still sits upon the throne, and all things will come together in the end times exactly how He planned them. My hope does not rest in the White House. It rests solely in Jesus Christ. For all of us, we do well to remember that. Now, I'm going to go vote, because it matters who's in the White House. I'm going to stand up and tell the truth to everybody I can tell the truth to about political things as well as spiritual things. But I'll say this, I'm not going to get yoked up with this world and let the things of politics and what happens late on election night, or like the last time, early the next morning, when everything changes. Because when I wake up the next day, I'm going to be just as saved as the day I went to sleep. The Savior is the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter who wins the election. Don't get it wrong. Don't stir everybody up. Encourage everybody. And if they need a ride, give them one down there to the polls. Amen. If they need a couple rides, give them a couple rides. Amen. I just think for all of us, we need to be remembered about that, because again, He says, come unto me. And I want to remind the church, when was the last time that you went to Him? I know the altar is a place that we can come to the Lord and we can lay our burdens down and not carry them with us if we give them to Him. But way too many times, we have burdens that we bear and we forget that we have a place and a Savior who is called to us, come unto me, all ye that are laboring. That's encouraging me, because again, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's only heard by the laborers. Amen. Heavy laden. That's talking about how heavy your burden is. I've often said, and I've served here with Pastor Carter, I always wanted to just be the pack mule. Amen. And carry whatever He needed me to carry. But I'm just going to tell you, folks, you know, sometimes in the Christian life, when we get loaded down with things around the church and the ministry and doing things, sometimes we feel like a pack mule. And we feel like we're treated like a pack mule. And nobody ever says thank you, or nobody ever tells me that I've done a good job. Nobody ever, listen, we're not working for a pat on the back here. It's nice when we get one. It's nice when somebody recognizes that. But folks, I'm telling you, that's not why we labor. That's not why we got heavy laden in the first place. We got in and we started pulling because we wanted to hear from Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servant. And let me tell you this, you may get somebody down here that tells you you're doing a good job, and you may not be. You just may be putting on a good show. But the one that is the righteous judge and will tell you exactly what you earned in this Christian life is the one who's in the yoke with you, because He plowed every mile with you. He made every turn. He stayed in the field every day. By the way, He never sleeps or slumbers. And so while you went and rested, He kept plowing. He was in the yoke with somebody else. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, come unto me is not a term that we need to soon forget. Some of you tonight need to go home and take a 3x5 card. Some of you that need bigger print, take a 4x6. And write, come unto me. And stick it on the mirror in your bathroom, or put it on the refrigerator, because you know you're going to see that. For some of you that are like me, you ought to stick it on the coffee maker, because it's the first thing you see in the morning when you're trying to figure out where the on button is again. Amen. I don't know what it is where you go to, but again, on a daily basis, we need to be reminded to come unto Him. He calls us away from all the labors and all the cares of this life to be with Him, because He desires to give us what? Rest. Amen. Look at what it says. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you just put down in your notes tonight this idea of being yoked up with Jesus Christ starts with submission. It's submitting to His yoke. Now, sometimes we don't like that, But you know, marriage, even though we don't like that, marriage happens, it's a submission of two people to be joined together in holy matrimony. Wouldn't it be great if we on a daily basis would come apart from the world and decide again to get in the yoke with Jesus Christ, to yoke up with him. Lord, I want to pull with you one more day. If this is the last day, help me to pull with you. Help me to get in here again, because we can go through the day. How many of us begin our day by ourselves and pull for a good peace before we decide to go unto him? Before we turn to him because it's too much for us. Wouldn't it be better for everybody that will pass by and everybody that will see us to see us and find us first thing before the light comes up in the yoke headed to the field for another day to pull with the Savior? For every one of us, they'll see a smile on our face because he says, when we get in the yoke, I will give you rest. On a daily basis, I turn on Gospel 90.3. And the music often reminds me of what my Savior has done for me. Amen. Do you know it's hard not to run to him in the morning when you're reminded that everything you are and everything that you could be has been purchased and has been blessed because of what he has done for you. It's hard for me to wake up in the mornings and walk through my house when there's nobody making noise but me. Sometimes a dog makes noise too. But when I'm banging around there and I think I'm being quiet and I think about all that God has blessed me with, you know, I'm not thinking about the labor. I'm not thinking about all the heavy ladenness that'll come later in the day. I'm not thinking about all the things that I'll have to deal with and the heaviness of this life. But I'm thinking that I'm saved. God's good. He's blessed me with a beautiful family. Folks, it's easy right then and there to be remembered that to get away from everything and to climb in the yoke again. If we get through this busyness of the day, it takes us away from the thoughts and we forget about who we're serving and why we're serving. And then when we get in pain and we get burdened down, we think about us and how it's making us feel. We're thinking about the pain and the agony of the pull and all the things that are surrounding us in the circumstances instead of the yoke that would have made the day easier, made the burdens lighter, would have given us rest right out of the gate. Folks, I don't know if you read verse 29 before, but read it with me tonight. Take my yoke upon you. He says, come unto me, and then he says, take my yoke upon you. It starts with submission, but now it continues with cooperation. He's already in the yoke. Come on and get in the yoke with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Why often do we not get in the yoke? You think you're too good for the yoke? I'm too busy for the yoke. I'm too burdened for the yoke. I've got different plans or direction than where Jesus is going to take me in the yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why is it important that we cooperate and learn of him? I don't know how many of you have ever had a partner or someone that works with you, but one of the greatest things you can do is learn who you're working with. You ever played on any kind of team? Learn what they're good at and learn what you're good at. Learn where your strengths are and where their weaknesses are. The greatest thing about all the world about Jesus is I've studied him for a long time in this life and I've never found a weakness. And every time I find a weakness in me, the more I read the book, the more this mirror of the Word of God shows flaws in me. But every time I look to him, I find strength where I'm weak. I find strength and ability where I would fall short. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Every Christian that's ever taken on the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ does not get more arrogant. climb higher and look who I am and how good I am. They begin to take on the meekness. And by the way, I preach this over and over again, and one of the things you ought to learn about the Bible is meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Don't consider yourself a weakling because you didn't strike somebody. It takes a man to put down what you could put on somebody else, and to hang on to it, and to be meek and lowly. Amen. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that? Because I'm going to tell you, listen, that's not the natural man. That has to be a spiritual man. That's when you're in the yoke and you desperately want to go over there and show that guy something. But the yoke pulls back on you. And Jesus says, we're not like that. We don't do that. We need to keep plowing. When you really want to go plow that guy. Some of you wanted to plow somebody in church before. And you thought to yourself, I can't do that in church. You shouldn't do that anywhere. Let alone in church, right? But we feel like, oh, there's a certain form of, listen, I'm going to tell you, being in the yoke doesn't just happen. You don't just get yoked up to come to church. And if we're not careful, that's where we want to take the rest. We come to church and we find rest one day a week when he'd go every day with us. He'd go wherever we go, wherever our labors are and all the things that happen. Look, it says, it continues, this yoke continues with cooperation. How about this one? It continues with communication. We learn of him. You say, why didn't he say he's going to learn about us? Because he already knows who you are. He created you. He knows the desires of your heart, and he made you to want to do and to fulfill his will in this life. And he's there to help you fulfill his will, to pull with you in the yoke, to help you finish well, to cross the finish line of what his perfect will is for your life. He's not trying to take you down a road that you were not made for. He's trying to take you down the road that you are best made for, that will bring him the most glory, which will bring you most heavenly rewards. And too often, we don't want to go with him because we don't know who he is. We don't have the faith to get in the yoke and go that far because we don't realize how good he is. We were happy enough to settle on just a Savior, not someone that was our everything. The one that could supply all our needs through his riches and glory. Too many times we don't go the distance with Jesus Christ. Too often we don't understand his meekness. We think that's not the strength that we need to face this life. Folks, meekness of Jesus Christ is the strength we need to finish the race. He says, and look at this, he says, and lowly in heart. Do you know what the Bible says about your heart? Can't be trusted. He says, lowly in heart. Do you know, for all of us, too many times we have been taught, and the world continues to preach, that what every young person in this building ought to do is follow their heart. And what you ought to do is follow the Lord Jesus Christ and learn how to be lowly in heart. And to fulfill the will of God. You're just trying to suppress my spirit. No, I'm not trying to break your spirit. I'm trying to, for you to squelch the spirit of the devil. And to let the Holy Spirit reign supreme in your life and lead you to come away from the world and to get in the yoke with Jesus Christ. I want you to see this. All of us not only continue, that we begin with submission, we continue with cooperating and going the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. We communicate with him, and when he's communicated, how do we continue on? We have to have conviction. You know, after a while, it ain't as fun as it used to be, is it, preacher? You know, there comes a time along the way that everything in the work of God is not new. You've not found some new thing that gives you the elation that you once did when you learned something new or you crossed over. Sometimes it's just convicting, and or conviction inside yourself to step away, get in the yoke, and pull on. I'm thankful for those that through the years of my life, when it stopped being fun, when it stopped being popular, when it stopped being whatever it was and glorious and lights on and everybody looking, they had conviction and they continued to plow. Because a lot of us watched them be faithful and we just decided, listen, that's what I want to be. I can't be what everybody else that came before me is. I can't always be that shining star that somebody else is to everybody else, and they're going to look to them, but I can be faithful. Can I just tell you what makes Landmark Baptist Church? Landmark Baptist Church is not necessarily a shining star of their pastor. It's not all these little pieces. It's a church that continues to plow and to stay in the yoke and be faithful. This pastor would be nothing outside and in papers and all the things that you think they are if there wasn't a group of people still plowing. Amen. And tonight I come to you and ask you to yoke back up again. Stay in the yoke. We got to have conviction to plow on till Jesus comes. If the election doesn't go our way, it will not be fun to continue to plow. There is a good chance that there will be persecution. It will not be as easy as it's always been to plow. But we didn't get in the plowing business with the Lord Jesus Christ to quit. Amen. And the obstacles and the hazards that we might face are nothing compared to his meekness and strength, his ability to keep on carrying on, even through hard times, even though we have not always faced them in these United States. Christians around the world have continued to plow faithfully in the yoke with Jesus Christ, even when it was against the law, even when it was against the government, even when it was unlawful for them to do simply what the Bible calls us to do, to gather together. And to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we got to have some conviction. And lastly, I want you to see this. How does it finish? It finishes with rest for your soul. By the way, I'll just say this. It doesn't have to finish and have rest for your soul in eternity, spiritually speaking. Your soul is eternal, but it's confined inside of your body. It is something that can either be elated while it serves the Lord Jesus Christ on this side of heaven. It is something that can be built up and flourish and bloom, or it is something that can be squashed, broken. If I could just say it in the best way I know how, I mean, I would just say grieved. To be inside a saved soul living inside of somebody who is not doing. You say, I thought that was the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is the sealing unit for the soul. He separates it from the body at salvation and he seals us. He's the comforter. We know we're going to have rest for our soul, but as we quench the Spirit, and he squashes down into the, we always think he's just squashing down into the smallest corner of our heart and life. He's got the outside shrink wrap of our soul. And as he quenches and he shrinks, the harder, the worse our soul feels, the more it longs to be close to God, the more it longs to get back right with him, the more it longs to be in the yoke with him, plowing like it used to be. And you say, preacher, I don't know how to plow like I used to. I don't have the power in my flesh to plow in the same fields. I wish I could get back on the bus, okay? You can't serve on the bus anymore. Learn of Jesus Christ and find a brand new way that you can plow for him. He's not finished with you if you're not finished. If you're still in the race, then keep on keeping on. Find a brand new way to get in the yoke and plow on for Jesus Christ. We all can't do what we used to do, but we can do something that God has called us to. You think God got to a certain age and took you to 70 and then decided at 70 his will was over? No, his will don't stop until you take your last breath, and then it's not done. It's eternal. You're changed with him face to face. Listen, I don't know about you, but until I take my last breath, I want to choose to come unto Jesus Christ. Come apart. Get yoked up with him. You say, preacher, what if I had no ability and I was laying in the hospital bed and all I could do is just lay there? There's a work to do. Every day you could still choose to climb in the plow. Some of you are prayer warriors. We can't afford one day without prayer. Where there's no prayer, there's no power. The power of the local church, folks, I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to ask you, we've been witnessing, but how many souls would we have won if the folks that weren't able to go out were begging God for souls for the ones that were out? How many could we have won if we, when we're not out, are begging God and plowing? You say, I didn't leave my house. You can plow in your house. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying, I believe in this age, we think prayer is a past thing. It's something that's not powerful like it used to be. And the reason that our generation does not have the power of the past generations is because of the lack of prayer. And I'm just going to tell you, let me remind you, we're real good about doing. But you and I have no power to do. Jesus does the saving. He must be beckoned. He must be asked. He must be prayed to and asked and begged by the church. He desperately wants. You say, it's his will. He'll do that. Yes, but think about the prayer. Think about your own heart and life and somebody that has the physical ability inside our church to go soul winning. And when we pray for God to give laborers to the harvest, God gives power in his preaching and he draws somebody through the Holy Spirit and calls them to the work of God. You say, preacher, how would I ever know? You won't until you cross the swelling tide. And when you stand before the righteous judge and you receive rewards, he's like, remember that day you were begging me for, you were praying? Let me tell you who I called. Let me tell you who I saved. Let me tell you, listen, sometimes we only think that the jewels and the crowns that we'll wear when we get to heaven will only be crowns of who we witness to. Well, what we can... We always think that the silent partner gets one because he's praying. Is he the only one to get something too? How about the one that couldn't plow or couldn't go, but he was at home praying for the soul winners that were out? I think they're getting jewels too. How about the one that prayed and prayed and prayed and then died and went to heaven in faith, and then 10 years later somebody walks the aisle and gets saved? They don't get none of that? Hey, folks, we have got a warped perception of the power of prayer. And no matter whether you can still plow with these two hands and feet, this mouth, and go out and witness, there's always a way for us to plow. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Let me ask you tonight, when was the last time you truly felt as you were serving God that you were in the yoke with him? That your soul winning was yoked up with him when you went out. That your bus witnessing and calling was yoked up with him. When was the last time you felt like your family was in the yoke with him? When was the last time you felt like your marriage was in the yoke with Jesus Christ? We always are short-sighted about getting in the yoke. And many of us... We submit, Lord, I know that that's what I need. Go beyond simple submission and take the action of putting your head and your heart into the yoke. Say, preacher, it's a simple message. The plain truth is there's way too many folks that are yoked up tonight, but what they're yoked up to is sin. What they're yoked up to, they're a servant to. And I'll just beg you tonight, bring whatever it is. If it's not Jesus that you're yoked up with tonight, come and leave that at the altar and take his yoke. And then from that day forward, learn of him, because it'll bring rest for your soul. It might bring rest in your marriage and in your soul and in your heart and in your life. This preacher, if I could give you one good counseling session tonight, when Jesus says, come unto me, step out and go to him. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Run to the yoke of Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're wearing the yoke of sin and you're burdened down, you're on your way to hell, you're not sure of heaven, would you come down and let us take a Bible and show you how to accept Jesus Christ? He says tonight, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, listen, you may be laboring, trying to earn your way to heaven, trying to do more good than bad, to try to make your way to heaven. You'll never get there that way. The only way to heaven is to take on the finished work, to accept Jesus Christ's payment of Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection is the payment for all sin, for every sinner. It's the only thing that'll break the yoke of sin and bring us to a place where we can be saved and freed to come unto him and to get into that yoke with him. If you're one of God's people tonight, would you stand to your feet with me? If God asked you to do business with him, would you come unto him as Brother Burt sings?